Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Hey friends, I'm Devin Simone.
And I'm Tori Deal, and this is MTV's official Challenge podcast.
And we have an extra special long interview with our Challenge USA 2 winners. Dun, 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 dun. Okay, so we want to get right into that ASAP. So we're going to just do a quick dive into our gold star and timeouts. Tor, let's start with you. Ma'am, who would you say is your gold star? Let's do of the episode and then do of the season. Cool?
Okay.
Okay.
Who's gold star.
Yeah.
Gold star of the episode. Oh, God. I'm going to give it to Corey.
Okay.
Because he came back from what looked like to be absolute destruction. Mm-hmm. Like, it looked like he was not coming back from that 5-minute, like, deficit. Mm-hmm. I thought he was toast. So, to even come in second place. And also, we haven't had him on the podcast.
Oh,
so
I know.
Let's show Corey a little love right now.
Yes, we love you, Corey.
I'm going to give him my star for the episode. What about you?
My star for the episode is actually TJ, and it's not his wardrobe.
Whoa.
His support and energy, the way you see TJ, people don't know this, but a lot of times I feel like in previous years, TJ really is supportive of the cast. He can be hard on us, but he's also like really rooting for you, but you don't get to see that all the time on the show just because there's only so many minutes in an episode. But seeing him really cheer on and almost like giddy TJ when Chris crosses the finish line and he's so excited about Desi's winning, just everyone finishing is really beautiful to see because TJ is the dad. He's the dad for us all in the challenge.
Yeah.
And just making him proud and seeing him happy and really rooting for you, I think is just super magical. And again, TJ's always so chill and cool. So seeing him like a giddy schoolboy is just great.
Yeah.
So TJ is my gold star of the episode. What about you for timeout of the episode?
Timeout goes to Fessy because he knew he missed that X and he decided to just try to hide it.
Yeah.
Like, as if production doesn't have 1,000 cameras on us.
Mm-hmm.
So, listen, I think he had a great season all around and I don't want to take anything away from him as a challenger.
Mm-hmm.
But on that moment right there, like, the phrase, if you're not cheating, you're not trying, it did not pay off.
Yes, it doesn't work in this game usually. I'm going to have to agree with you on that timeout. Initially, I was going to say, no timeouts, but actually I forgot about that 1,000%, right? He's definitely the timeout. I'll tell you my gold star of the season. My gold star of the season actually, is the entire cast. And this is why.
Yes!
I think this, I said it from the beginning, I started feeling it early on. I say it to everyone I meet out in like the real world now still. This is one of the best seasons. I think it was such a balanced cast. My emotions were everywhere the whole time. You guys really did a number on me, but because there are moments where it seemed like the vets were all going to be wiped out. There are moments where it seemed like the rookies were, they're going to be the ones you liked were going to be wiped out. It's just it was balanced. It was great. It was smart gameplay. It was so good. You couldn't easily predict, or at least I couldn't, who was going to make it to the end. And I really love that. Everyone gave it their all. There was some unnecessary screaming in the early episodes, but they got eliminated soon. But other than that, I feel like it was a really amazing season. So gold star to the entire cast. What about you,
Tori? I think I'm going to give out a more specific gold star. And I want to give it to two people who didn't actually get the chance to win on the female side.
Mm-hmm.
I think Chanel and Michaela, also Desi as well, but she gets the whole trophy.
Yeah.
So, like, we'll save the trophy for Desi, but also Michaela and Chanel really absolutely dominated.
They did.
And especially Michaela for leaving after the first elimination on her first season.
Yeah.
For her to go all the way to the final,
right.
Like, that is incredible. And she really got to show how good of an athlete she is and how strong she is. And so I got to give it to Chanel and Michaela.
And how fierce
on this one.
Michaela is through fear, right? I mean, we saw she was paralyzed with fear and yet utilized that somehow to come out on top. That's really amazing. This was sort of a comeback story for both her and Desi, really, an encore.
Mm-hmm.
They're both queen of the encores. Who's your timeout of the season?
Oh, God, this is tricky. I don't know. Do you know yours?
I actually don't think there really is one. Like, I feel like it was a good, of anything, actually, I would say I want to see more behind the scenes. I want to see shit they should have shown. I want to see these funny moments. I want to see, you know, the behind the scenes stories. Like, I love having everyone come on the podcast and having you like spill some of the tea, but I know there's more behind that and fun behind that. And so that's my timeout. I want to make that happen. We want more.
Yes. And also, can we touch on your predictions from last week's episode? Because you were 50% right.
I was. That's pretty good. That's kind of like what happens when I play the lottery. I win, but I only win $2. So next time it's to get all the numbers. But yes, I'm so excited for both winners. I think both well-deserved. I honestly think everybody who made it to the final, I was rooting for in some way or the other. Mm-hmm. Desi, I don't know. She pulled on my heartstrings with USA One. Like I said, I really did believe that she would have been the winner. Not to take anything away from Sarah, but I certainly think it would have been neck and neck if she had been able to go further, if it weren't for her partner. Mm-hmm. So seeing her, and I know that affected her so much, and so seeing her come out on top, like, my heart was just with it. I also felt like she played a pretty straight game from like a humble perspective the whole time. Like, she didn't really get in too much, and so it was just beautiful seeing her make it to that point. And then Chris, I mean, say what you want to say, like, it was deserved because Chris took out half the cast. I mean, at that point, damn, he should win. I'm very proud of Chris, and I definitely think he deserved to win.
I think so too. I'm excited to hear what they have to say, because it was awesome to watch them in person. I didn't get to see the last leg of the final, but now I get to hear about it from them. So I say we have them on and we just let them tell us how it went.
Ooh, and you guys, trust me, are not gonna want to miss this. There is all sorts of stuff. There is, I mean, I know that like Drake just came out with an album, but there's a song you're not going to want to miss here. Some behind the scenes, a lot of good stuff. And we really get to hear the stories from the winners of how they were feeling, how this journey was for them and what it really meant to them. So if you're a Challenge fan at all, which of course you are because you're here, you are not going to want to miss this interview. So stay tuned, because coming right up, we have our Challenge USA season 2 winners. Woohoo! Yay! We'll be right back after this.
Mother's Day is coming, and Mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get Mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get Mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting Mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get Mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for Mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for Mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
All right, everyone, please welcome your Challenge USA 2 champions, Chris Underwood and Desi Williams. Woo! Yes!
Let's go!
You guys! Oh my gosh, that was beautiful. Just hold on. It was beautiful. Good job. Games well played. Amazing. You both overcame so much. Did you, realistically, did you think you'd get here? Like, did you think that you'd make it to this point in this particular season as the champions?
I mean, I think we both came in hopeful. I think a lot that was behind the scenes, and you can like tell me if I'm oversharing, Chris, but Chris and I were kind of working together undercover from the very beginning of this game. Like, as soon as we got to Croatia, we were like, the two of us can ride this thing all the way out. Let's have a secret alliance that nobody really knows about.
Wait,
way.
Wow. Wait, did you guys know each other before that? Like, were you close before this at all?
No, we never met.
No.
So what inspired this? Why did you two decide to link up so early in the game?
I personally, for me, I think that from watching the first season of The Challenge, I knew that Desi was a badass. And if I could link arms up with her, it would be in my favor. We come from Survivor. We connected right off the bat. We had really good energy. And, you know, from the get, I kind of always had said this, there's really a couple people that I, in the beginning of the game, as you're developing relationships, wanted to look out for, as best as I could. And it was, Desi, it was Michelle, and then it was Tori for a lot of the beginning of that game. And so I didn't have in it necessarily going into the game of I'm going to go be Survivor strong. I'm going to be like this other, you know, I'm going to go play with the vets. I was playing a middle game. Like I was, but Desi was one of those.
You hit
people.
It pretty well.
It's a little debatable. At times.
Very debatable. And Tori, did you know Chris and Desi had this sort of underlying alliance?
Well,
thing?
Just to speak to what Chris was saying, in the very beginning of the game, we were on blue team together and he was trying to create an alliance between myself and Desi and Michaela. And there was conversations of us trying to make that happen. It took a few battles for it to finally get there. But I did know that they were working together. But then also once that the game shifted and everyone kind of turned their back on Chris, Desi was the person who was finally like, actually, I am going to look out for Chris. So looking at it now in hindsight, you can see what they're talking about. I just, I don't think it was that obvious in the house though.
Yeah, I mean, and that was all done purposefully because I had, everybody else was like, Chris is sketched. And I was like, Chris is totally sketched. Yes, Chris. But I'm not going to vote for him.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So yeah, that was definitely something that I think we were hopeful that we could pull it out together. And we have a mutual friend. So I think going into the game, our mutual friend was like, Chris is a good guy. Like, don't listen to what everybody says about him. Like, Chris is a good guy. So I kind of, trusted that friend's judgment. I was like, I want to work with Chris. As we got further into the game.
You keep saying that friend, Desi, like it's code. You keep saying this friend, that mutual friend. Who's the mutual friend?
Oh, his name is Bryce. Bryce.
We'll give him a shout out. Bryce Isaiah. Sister wife, Give a little shout out to the Purple Pants podcast.
From the Purple Pants podcast.
Are you guys going to take Bryce to dinner or have you already since he's your mutual friend and you guys.
I've seen Bryce since. We've talked on the phone a ton. I haven't seen him yet, but he should be in LA in December. I'd be happy to take.
Bryce, I owe you a dinner. Yeah, you help make this happen.
That's right, Bryce.
No.
What did it feel like when you guys like finally, like that was a rough day, the last elimination. Chris, you locked it in and Desi, you didn't have to go into the last elimination. But when you finally found out you were going back to the final, Desi, what was it like for you to return? And then Chris, what was it like for you to know that you were making it there after the ridiculous season you had to go through? I guess Desi, we'll start with you.
Okay. Yeah. I have the worst case of imposter syndrome. And I mean, you see it throughout this entire season. I'm just like, I'm here, but do I deserve to be here? I won, but do I deserve to win? Like, I don't know what in my past has created that for me. But I think that was just another realization that I deserve to be there. Like the first time, like it could have happened by chance. It could have been luck. But for it to happen two seasons in a row, it felt like I was where I was supposed to be. And I even went back and forth about whether or not to even do this season based upon season one. So it was a really true confirmation that I was exactly where I was supposed to be. It was like,
even though you crushed it so much in season one, Challenge USA season one, I mean, anyone looking at you, you crushed it so much and were such a fighter. And obviously you can't control who you get partnered with all the time. That's kind of part of the game. Yet you were doubting your ability or your desire to come back. Simply because you hadn't
played the challenge before.
I mean, I know, but that's the thing is like, you weren't the weaker one of the duo. You didn't quit. You didn't give up and you made it so far. And I said last season or on season one of USA that I thought that if you had made it, that there was a good chance you would have won. So to hear that you didn't jump at this sort of knowing already, I feel like you had an advantage in the sense you had a test run of just your prowess and how strong you are. It's interesting to hear sort of the humility and maybe the lack of awareness. And I say this with kindness of just how talented you are and that you were potentially not even going to come on this season.
Yeah. I mean, I appreciate you saying that. But I think there's also the flip side of that where it's like when you do so well your first yeah. season, then people expect you to always perform that well.
Oh, so girl,
then you
put on, yeah. I did two finals in two right. seasons. I get it. Yeah.
So then totally. It's like, what if I don't make it to the final? Then everybody's like, see that you shouldn't have been there. You, I mean, if you read the comments, the fans can come up with
never
anything
read the comments.
To drag you for.
Tori actually taught me that.
Yeah. It's just brutal. Yeah. It's a brutal place to exist, and it doesn't belong in your mental matrix, you know?
Amen.
Chris, did you ever suffer from that at all, where you felt like, I mean, we definitely saw your struggle, and yours was a little different, it seemed, because people turned on you, right? Like, people were coming at you. I love in this episode when they show the montage and you say, you know, when you're trying to figure out the order of who got eliminated and you're like, oh, well, you know, I can remember I got the ones on lock of the ones I sent home. And then it's this montage of just these heavy hitters that are like, Chris eliminated them, like all these people that you went through, which is just seriously, like, you should just take that clip and put it on your social media. That in of itself, like, speaks volumes forever. But did you ever have a moment of imposter syndrome or feeling like, you know, yeah, I look strong. Yes, I'm doing all these eliminations, but, or were you more, like, was your struggle something altogether different?
That's a great question. I think I just, from the very beginning, I wanted to prove that I was a strong challenger. I was a strong competitor. Coming off of my Survivor season was difficult. And I had to navigate that in my own way, because I did feel very undeserving after that win. Coming into this season, I was trying to be my most authentic self as best I could. You know, obviously this is a game of politicking, but I didn't hold anything back. And then as the season went on, it just got so, it was really an emotionally taxing season for me. It was really, really hard because I did feel like my back was against the wall for so many days. And then, you're living in that. You're just like, what the hell am I doing? Like, is this even worth it? And yeah. I was just going back. It's like, is this even worth it? Like, you know, what I remembered though is when I went out the season, all I wanted to do from the very beginning was like, I just want to make it worth it. Every single experience, yeah. everything opportunity, you know, all of this, I want to make it worth it because I'm leaving a lot to be here. I'm leaving a business. I'm leaving, you know, as a father, as a husband, as a lot of people who depend on me. So it's like every single day, I made that decision. It's like, no matter what, no matter how far I get, I'm going to give it every single ounce of energy. Like, I'm not coming back. Like, this is my one and only season and I'm not coming back. So I'm going to make every single second worth it. And I'm going to die out there. Like, I'm going to give it everything.
Is this your retirement season?
Yo, say, are you really not coming back now, Chris?
Or are you Wes now?
I'm Wes. Yeah. Who knows? There's so many. Yeah. I'm sure down the road, you may see me again, but it's gotta be calculated because I am, you know, I do have so much going on back home, but I just played every day. I was like, this is, I'm playing like I'm not coming back. And mm-hmm, and right. that's the thing of the challenge. I think some people play like they're coming back. So you make strategies like you're coming back and you make decisions based on who am I going to piss off or not piss off because I may see them two or five or next season. Like right. I just play like I'm not coming back. So I'm going to give it.
This is why you were like F y'all in some of those episodes basically and not caring about it because you were like, I'm not coming back. So you can kick rocks. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Is that
sort of, yeah. Good. I mean, whether that's a smart move or not a smart move.
Well, you won.
I won. Yeah. I won. I needed to tap into like my inner warrior and I think I did that.
And Chris, you kind of won by like a landslide. I think.
Ooh, tell us.
Like, how long were you at the top of the mountain before anybody else showed up? You were there for a minute.
I was there for a good 20 to 30 minutes.
Wow.
Made it I wanted to crush their souls. I really did. I was like, I knew that I was ahead and I, in spite of being pretty far ahead, I just put it. I have pictured bananas. I pictured the back of Banana's head 100 yards in front of me the entire mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. So I was chasing a make-believe version of Corey and Bananas and Fessy in front of me by 100 yards the entire race.
It's amazing. Funny story, after you know, I get purged on the axe, I'm like driving around and we get back to the hotel where production holds us and like the day goes by and like we get a little information that possibly you won, but only because one of the camera operators was saying that the camera guy following you, Chris, couldn't keep up because that's how fast you were pushing. And that says a lot because these camera operators are so talented. Yeah. They literally
shout
do
out to the team.
Yeah, they do insane treks. And for you to be outrunning them, obviously they have a massive camera on them, but still, like, that just goes to show.
I had the rock. I had the rock.
You had the rock.
I had the rock. I have the camera. I'm like, come on, cameraman. You got to keep up. Let's go. Let's go. I'm like motivating the cameraman while I'm running up this mountain.
I love that. Chris, you mentioned throughout the season sort of, and even when you first got on this interview, about there being questions around whether or not you deserve to win Survivor, right? Are you feeling maybe like others didn't think that you necessarily deserved to win and you really wanted to prove that you deserved to be here and you deserved to win? How did you feel watching this episode and during the competition, seeing Fessy say in his talking head interview that Chris is proving himself time and time again, and that you were, you know, the person he was concerned, like most concerned about? And then how did it feel hearing TJ say when you won, you deserve that? Like, what were those moments like for you?
They really were priceless. The one thing I love about Fessy is he's just one of those guys where like game respects game.
Yeah.
And he knew that my back was against the wall the entire time. And despite us having, you know, this front of an alliance, because I'm a rookie at it. I didn't go back and watch every single episode of the challenge before going out there. And that was a huge blunder of mine, thinking that I could, you know, infiltrate this vet alliance. And kind of behind the scenes, that's something that I talked about a lot towards the end game. But as I continued to push myself and win elimination after elimination, and then the last two individual challenge wins, to hear people like Bananas just be like, dude, you're in uncharted territory. Mm-hmm. Like this isn't normal, and you're doing something special. And to hear Fessy be like, dude, I threw you in time and time again, and you showed me up, and respect and props to you, like, you know, competitor to competitor. And then TJ in one of the eliminations was like, Chris, you either have to win or you're going in. You win or go in. And in referring to the arena
at the
end of the game. And that was just like, that was my mindset in those last two individual challenge wins. So when I got to the top and TJ gives me this massive hug and he's like smiling ear to ear, I'm like, you're a real one, Teej. This is special. This is like a special moment.
Yeah, it was absolutely beautiful. There's so many questions about this whole thing. Tori, I have to ask you, how does it feel? Like, my mouth dropped open when I saw TJ's little scribbled ass note that was like, bye, the game's over.
Yeah.
Sitting on the thing.
Yeah.
How were you expecting that at all? Like, what was that feeling of going so hard, getting there, and then there just being a note kind of like...
Yeah. This is my sixth final, and so you kind of know that every final is a little different, and I knew this one, I was going up against, like, some heavy hitters. I mean, literally, Desi, Michaela, and Chanel dominated this whole season. So I think, you know, one little mistake of not hitting the axe and realizing that I had an extra mile tacked on to my trek, I knew at that point, unless Chanel missed it, because I saw Desi make hers, then I was toast. So it was really about it was a long run of me accepting it, which is why by the time I read the note, I was like, okay, like, I'm either going to be upset right now or I'm going to be like very impressed with the women who and men who dominated this game. And I also, like, unlike Chris, I've been playing so many seasons back to back. I can truly appreciate the storylines that get fulfilled over the course of the season. So when you see Desi's coming from last season getting eliminated, and then you see a storyline like Chris, it's like, I have so much respect and love for this game. I have that I love watching people experience what I had just experienced when they finally get that win. So it was really a mix of, okay, like, this one wasn't for me, and then a lot more of like, wow, like, history is about to be made for these two people, and they should be so proud. And Now I'm just working on my axe throwing, so no big deal. It's all good. Like, it's totally fine. But ultimately, like, watching it back, I'm like, wow. I was shocked with Desi. Obviously, Chrissy as well. But Desi, your performance at every single checkpoint. Like, the ability to lock in like that and to not be flustered, to read something calmly and then to execute, like, that is something that does – you cannot teach somebody. You have to have that. So what was it like running in the final, knowing, especially because we started this day and Michaela and I were in the front, right, for maybe only a little bit, like tiny, tiny bit. But, like, you still have that mindset of, like, okay, I have to catch up now or – so how did you walk up to each station with calmness? Like, what happens in your brain?
I'm really big on affirmations, like, huge on, I shouldn't say I haven't always been that way. Season one, I was not. And so I was always flustered, like, mentally, I never showed it, but always flustered, always stressed, always super anxious. So I knew if I was going to come back and play this game again, that I needed to figure out a way to get my emotions under control. So I just had a mantra of positive affirmations on repeat in my head, like that entire 10 miles, the same affirmations. I did them. I said them to myself at least 10 times a day, every day we were in the house. And then that entire 10 mile journey.
What were some, can we get a sample? Yeah. Like, what are some of your mantras?
Where is my little notebook?
Ooh, I
think it's in the other, yes, I think it's in the other room, but it was just like, I deserve to be here. I am the strongest woman here. If it can be done, I can do it. There were seven of them, but just along those lines, like, yeah. Just along those lines. So that's essentially what was running through my head. It's like, I deserve to be here. I can do it. If it can be done, like, why not me? And so that's just what was on repeat in my head. And so I don't know how I got the axe throw the first, like, literally the first axe I picked up. I've never touched an axe in my life. I threw it. It stuck. I was like, oh, shit, that's
the
nice.
Affirmations threw the axe. The affirmation, yeah, but right? Took the wheel. They're like,
truly, truly.
I she think channeled what, Paul Bunyan.
I've never... I've never been so deep into affirmations until, like, prepping for this season. That's what I did more than anything to prep for this season was affirmations. And it made a world of a difference because I'm afraid of heights.
Really?
Like, yeah. Littles. And, yeah. I'm afraid of heights. I don't really like to be in open water. I don't mind it so much, but so there were a lot of moments where last season, like, I would have, like, there were moments where I was shaking from terror, and this season I was just like, stay calm. You got this. God wouldn't put you here if you weren't supposed to be here.
Yes, girl. That's did just, it so gracefully.
That was kind so of gracefully. What got me through.
What did you guys think? Because another twist that we saw in this final that I thought was pretty cool was the double down rule, right? When you first were made aware, when TJ in his tangerine colored shirt first said, you know, hey, you have an opportunity to get a lead by doubling down. Immediate thought. Let's start with you, Chris. Like, what's your immediate thought when you hear that?
My plan was to, when I heard that, I had played a risky game from day one. So I knew I was going to position myself to the best of my abilities to double down on the spelling. I was like, I'm probably not going to finish an eating challenge first. Puzzles aren't necessarily my strong suit. I'm definitely probably not going to win the strength challenge. So I'm going to do spelling. But hearing that, I had taken a lot of chances and made a lot of risky moves leading up to that point. So another risky move for me is like, oh, this is you got to do it. This is just figure out which one that your, you know, is your strongest strong suit and run with it. I didn't realize how I really botched spelling.
You guys know how to spell vengeance.
Apparently not, because I got it wrong, but I spelled it closer. It looks closer like vengeance than Corey's spelling of vengeance. Yeah. So. But I was shocked when I won this with the strength. I really was, that to me was a huge confidence booster, because going up against Fessy and Corey, and even afterwards, Fess was like, let me feel those boxes. And he like picked them up. He was like, all right, there's not that big of a difference. I was like, cool, good to know, because it was based on the body weight. So, you know, just having that first win just put me in a good mental headspace, you know, for the rest of the final.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Desi? When you first heard it, were you excited about that sort of twist, or were you like, ooh?
I would say I'm the opposite of Chris. Where I'm not a risk taker, I don't like taking risks. And so I went back and forth in my head, like, am I going to double down? Am I not going to double down? I talked to Chanel about it. I was like, should I double down? She was like, I don't know. It's kind of risky. And then the moment I was like, I can spell pretty well, so let me just give it a shot. And I knew there was a chance I'd come in last for one of the other ones. Is that the order we did them in?
Yeah.
Or did we do the puzzle before? That was the order.
It was strength, okay. And then it was the spelling, and then,
So, I was just like, I've come this far in this game. Mm-hmm. God's looked out for me this far. Like, the universe is on my side. If I'm feeling it in my gut, I'm just going to double down. Hope
a
for the
lot
best.
Of trust. A lot of trust. I love it.
Yeah. And what about you, Tori Elizabeth Ann?
I'm a loser. No, I mean, obviously, I'm not a risk taker either. But once it got over to the skills, I think it was, that's when I was like, let me double down, because it's now an act of desperation. And thankfully, it worked. So,
yeah. And then you crushed the eating challenge, which, but do we need to talk about your eating habits?
Yeah.
Because
we can do that.
None of that looked good, Tori. Yeah, and you really did eat that like you had just been taken on a 5-star date. And shout out to TJ describing it like it was a Michelin restaurant, you know, like with drizzle, like seaweed drizzle and blah, blah, blah. Like, that looked nasty as hell. Yeah. Was that traumatic for each of you? Tori, I want to start with you, but I know your dad ketchup and cheese, but seriously, how did you not throw up?
No, that was like a serious thing. Like, I really, my standards for food are really low. I'm not kidding. Obviously, I eat vegan. Once I found out it was vegan, it was a no-brainer for me. Like, and I've done so many eating challenges on the challenge. This truly, truly felt like a delicacy in comparison to some of the things that I've had.
That's fair.
So I think just knowing that, again, it's an experience thing, but also, like, I was pretty shocked by how many people were throwing up because I really didn't think it was that bad.
Note to anyone, don't eat at Tori's house.
Well, I will say that I feel like I saw you eat quite a few things, like, in the house, where I was like, what is she eating? So I will second that Tori does not have high standards when it comes to food. She's like, it's edible, it's vegan, all right, tastes great. Like, Tori will eat anything.
The processed tofu strips that came out in breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and Tori's just like, this is my food. It's like, well,
this doesn't taste bad. And I'm like, this is actually disgusting.
Standards are low.
I want to talk about Tori's little smoothie goatee. I think that for me was the best
thank
moment
you
where
so
she's like,
much. Thank you. I'm
the handlebar
about,
mustache of the smoothie was so good.
Thank you.
It was so like perfectly symmetrical.
I'm still looking for a boyfriend. So if anybody found that attractive, feel free to slide into my DMs. Thank you.
Be careful what you wish for, Tori. All right. We've got to take a break. Y'all already know, but we will be right back after this.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Think that we can all agree that the next morning it was kind of waking up in that tent being like, okay, like today's the day. Like we all looked around, we knew one of us was getting eliminated at that first station. We knew two of us were going to win. And I mean, I just want to know what was going through your guys' heads. Like, were you nervous going into the second day, especially knowing that, well, actually, no, you had advantages technically. So like, what was going through your head? I guess, Chris, we'll start with you.
There's no other way to say that. I just, literally locked in. I mean, I had tunnel vision on my goal, and my goal was not only to win, but to dominate. And just like Desi, it's amazing the power of positive self-talk. I mean, it's unbelievable. And so my mantra the entire time was like, you're a effing winner. You're an effing badass. You can go do hard things. You got this. And I was like, dude, I was cursing up a storm. Like, I was like screaming to myself. They were like, the camera guy was like, dude, you're psycho. I mean, I was, you know, talking to myself, you know, hyping myself up, yelling like, I'm going to chase you down, bananas, like the whole way up. You know, I was in like savage warrior mode. It was weird, but it was a culmination of all of my struggles throughout the season. Like, I'm not going to. That wasn't in vain. None of that was done in vain. And this is my opportunity to really prove to myself that I can do incredibly hard things and come out on top.
With that said, Chris, looking back now where you are, would you change all the challenge, like the, I mean, pun intended sort of, but the daily challenges you had to go through to get to this point? Because of those in the final, arguably you had it the hardest, or were one of the ones who had it the hardest as an individual. I do think the vets had it very hard in the beginning, because you guys did such a great job as rookies of like putting the vets on their back heels for the first few episodes. And it felt like it was an uphill battle for them. But ultimately, as an individual, I think Chris, you and Cassidy probably had it the hardest in terms of the fight you had to do. Would you go back and change any of that now and just make it easier? Or do you feel like the win is that much sweeter because you had to go in and keep proving yourself and take out competitors?
Yeah, I mean, the win was so sweet after that, those struggles. And I feel like I feel like I proved myself. I feel like I did what I needed to do with my back against the wall to come out on top. Now, from a gameplay, a strategy standpoint, there's a couple points in the game, you know, looking back, where there were blunders. You know, when you're playing chess, you make a bad move. There's bad moves, and then there's blunders. It's like game ending moves. And the first one was assuming that the vets and that alliance, which behind the scenes, I did talk a lot about this vet alliance that was just an impenetrable wall. I thought I could play the middle with people on both sides. And, you know, when it came down to it, I was going to protect on the girl side, Desi, Tori, and Michelle. And then on the guy side, Josh, which this was never showed, but Josh was my number one guy. And I was rooming with Fess and with Corey, even Sebastian. We're bros, like we're friends, but from a strategic gameplay, I was like, this is not his, it's not going to get me farther in the game to align closely strategically with Sebastian. Like he was hugged up with Tori. Like if I go super close on him, there's only two survivor guys. There's five survivor girls. Like if it gets down to it, we're going to eventually go in at each other. And you know, even with Tori, when Tori and Fess nominated me the first time, that's where my game shifted. And I was a mess. Mm-hmm. I mean, Tori and Desi can admit I was a mess. I mean, it was a tough one for me. And I definitely spiraled.
Oh, we
you
saw
know,
it.
I was bad. And it was because I just felt like I was wrong, because I was playing a game a lot like Michelle, where, you know, there was alliances on both sides. I was, you know, not aware of, you know, the reality of the situation. It's like, if I would have gone back, probably teaming up with, you know, Michaela and Desi and, you know, Monty and Tyler and Lewis from the very beginning would have been a better strategic game than trying to play a middle game like Michelle, but not have several seasons before me.
Which is the difference.
Right, right. It's a delicate role.
Which is the difference. So at any time, if it's me or Michelle on the chopping block, I'm going to go in. If it's Josh or me on the chopping block, I'm going to go in.
Like, it was like you submitted an application to an employer, but with no experience. You know what I mean? Whereas Michelle was like, I have years of experience. And, like going, and so it's not anything you can do about it. It's just truly the experience and the relationships built over the year. Like if we go back in next time, you're going to tell me that some new rookie isn't going to come in, a girl, and she's going to ask to work with you, Chris, and you're not going to have Desi's back over. Like it's just the way it goes.
It's the way that it goes. It's the way that it goes in the challenge. And so then the second thing was, that was part one. The second section of that downfall was really, because I was playing the middle, it's either it's going to work really well or it's going to work terribly. And that was like, that was how kind of Michelle's in happened. And I was mad because the night at the bar, whenever I got that nomination, Sebastian was pitching Corey. And I was like, this is an attack. Like I didn't see that one coming. And then I asked if anything that Michelle would just, you know, put in, make it a girl's day. And like, it wasn't in her best interest to do that. And I felt hurt by that. So then I was like, Cassidy, you have two options to probably, they're going to want to get survivors out. You're probably not going to have a good chance at beating Tori in an elimination round. And it was, and
anything
it was
can happen. Gonna,
it, yeah. But I mean, even Tori, I told Tori multiple times, like, hey, I'm voting for you because I'm not going to put in a survivor girl, but I actually truly believe you're going to win because you're so good at this and you're a badass. And I told her that ahead. So I was like, I'm voting for you and I'm so sorry, but I am actually confident you're going to win. So, but then at the end of the day, it was always me. It's so funny though. Cause she was like, yep, good luck. And then it was always me who's going in and I didn't even see it coming. So that was just another, you know, strategic mistake on my end. And I was like, you know what? I ain't got nothing but to just earn my stripes in these challenges and this elimination because I got nobody. I mean, other than Desi at the very end, after Michelle kind of had that, they had that falling out. So
Chris, I remember us having one conversation. And this is where I think like, you were like, it's just so weird to me because everybody else is lying and I haven't lied to anybody. I just haven't told the whole truth. And I was like, Chris, do you not understand that that's the same thing as lying? So it wasn't so much like we wanted to trust you, but it was like, he's very clearly lying.
You definitely got messy in there for a while. It was hard to root for you, bro, because it got messy. Desi, Chris speaks about feeling like he was kind of on an island at a certain point, sometimes by his own actions, Chris, but that towards the end of the game he felt that way, whereas you came in with this band of rookie women sort of, and you guys seem to hit it off from the jump. I started referring to you all as Destiny's Child and have all the way through, and you make it to the final with that group, which we don't see often, particularly when it is a team of rookies, right? Mm-hmm. Like that were so tight from the jump. How did it feel going into that final? Like what were the conversations had in the travel period that we don't get to see on the show, the behind the scenes, realizing that you, this sort of sisterhood, has made it to the final? And where does your relationship with the girls stand now?
Yeah. So I do want to say I did not come into this game like, I'm going to work with Chanel, I'm going to work with Michaela. I had never had a conversation. No, I'd met Chanel once, but I knew Chanel was like really close with Tiffany. She was really close with the like Big Brother girls. I did not think I was going to be able to work with her in this game. I had never met Michaela before. And I think we sort of felt ostracized from, like, it became clear that Michelle was like doing some weird stuff. Like we wanted to be survivor strong. Michelle was doing weird stuff. Chris was doing weird stuff. Sebastian was
doing fun stuff. I'm just kidding.
doing also weird but different stuff.
I love you, Jen.
And Cassidy was just like playing a bad social game. And so we kind of got forced to work together and get really close. Even through like when Tiffany was still there, she was doing weird stuff. So we were like, she's in our room, but we can't really trust her. So we kind of just were forced to work together. And once we were forced to work together, we were like, we have to stay committed to this because everybody's gonna have it out for us, obviously. But when the like when we all made it to the final, and I will say even like Tori included, I think she became a part of our alliance towards the end, and there was a stronger alliance. And I kept trying to tell Michelle, like, how's it feel to be in the stronger alliance, Michelle? Because she's, you know, was sort of in it, like, because she was so well protected in the house. But I think when the four of us, like, we had that conversation that we could be the four at the end and we'll just duke it out when we get there. I think to actually have said that and have it come true was like,
That was crazy.
Oh, shit. Like, yeah, it was crazy. Yeah. It was crazy.
Those powerful affirmations. Speaking it into existence.
Again, this season was a lesson for me in that, in more than one way, and how much self-talk can Just the way you speak can control the outcome.
Told you, but Chanel said that she affirmed that she would be on the challenge. Like before she ever got the call, before anything, she said, I want to do the challenge. I'm going to be on the challenge. She started like training for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then she got the call. So mm-hmm. the power of speaking it into existence. We've talked a bit about blunders mm-hmm. for you guys. And Tori, I want to know this for you too. Because you all have had impressive moments this season. Was there one game move from the season that you're most proud of? Let's start with you, Desi, and then do Tori and Chris. But what like game move of all season you're most like, yes, I owned that?
I would actually say it was the episode where Chris and I won the daily. Because I was very torn up over the fact that I had like lied to Tori. I'd stabbed her in the back after she'd saved me. We're talking like episode, what's that, 11, 12? Yeah, one of the last episodes where Chris and I won that puzzle challenge. And I had a bad, like I was crying that whole day, just like having a really bad mental health day, feeling like mm-hmm. this game was changing my sense of character. I'm a person who has a lot of integrity. I felt like I let this game take my integrity away from me. I just mm-hmm. felt like a horrible person, and I couldn't recognize myself in the game and was mm-hmm. like, I don't even know if I should stay. Like, should I go home? Should I even compete? So when Chris and I won that challenge, and then I mean, I even said in my confessional, I had an opportunity to write that wrong, mm-hmm. put Michelle in, because Michelle is the one who essentially was lying to everyone at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And also just like pay Tori back for mm-hmm. the several times. For the several times she kept me out of the elimination ring. For me, that was like a perfect episode. Like mm-hmm. all the survivors kind of worked together to make sure we had the 8 puzzle pieces when nobody else had 8 puzzle pieces. Mm-hmm. Chris and I worked together to like nominate the perfect 2 people who were the most protected in the game. That was, mm-hmm. you know, Josh and Michelle were the most protected throughout the entire game, barely got any balls ever in the hopper. And then for one person who I like truly was ready to go home, I was just like, this is perfect. Everything about this is perfect.
And I just want to say thank you, Desi, for that, because watching it, like we didn't really get to see the full conversation that we had, which I thought was like, and how I really felt about it was so beautiful. A lot of people come into this game and don't play with their heart. And of course, there's moments where strategy can take over, and it's just all fair in love and war and the challenge. It's just how it goes. But it does show your character and how good of a person you are. And also now a champ. And I do think that there's this karmic aspect of being a challenge champ. And that's why it's also beautiful to see both of you two have that title, because you see your growth through the entire season and these ups and downs. And you shared it so vulnerably that now it's so easy to root for you guys at the end. It's so easy to celebrate this win with you. Like it feels like a win for the viewers in a sense, and especially for the people who have seen the journey, you know, firsthand. So I just want to say that that was really beautiful, and I appreciate your heart so much, because I was really touched by that. Mm-hmm. You didn't really owe me anything, you know, it's a game, but it showed a lot when you did that.
Well, thank you. I mean, I felt like I had no choice. I like could not live with myself that day, which is, I know that sounds crazy, like it is a game, but to me it's like also who I am,
like part of life. Yeah. What about you, Chris? What move were you most proud of this season?
I was speaking to that win with Desi. I mean, that was such poetic justice for me, and she was the reason why I won that challenge, because she did, I mean, they showed it, she passed me, it's like there's 3 more pieces down that tunnel, and so I was like, okay, so I went down to the bottom one, the second one, and then the one closest to the top, and then just had a head start over the guys. So once I won that, I was sitting up on top of the castle, just watching them walk back and see me sitting on top of my finished puzzle piece, smiling ear to ear, and you know, Fessy throws up right in front of me. I'm like on my, I'm like sitting on my castle, just grinning at Corey, Fessy, and Bananas. Like, this is too perfect. But I would honestly say my biggest personal victory was the Wes elimination. Mm-hmm. Because I was in such a low point in that game where I was just, I like had kind of just let go of control and was like, I'm not going to fight myself out of this. No one is going to trust me in this game. I'm going to tell them what I would like to happen, and then I'm just going to see if it happens. And again, speaking to the fact that they didn't really show my alliance with Josh, I just asked him, was like, if there's anyone to vote for, just please vote with Wes. And to me, that was like such a, I don't, it was for his own game. He was doing it for his own reasons. But to me, that was like, at least someone said that they were going to do something, you know, and actually carried out. And to send Wes home with only three balls in the hopper and one of them being mine against Wes, I was so nervous. I hadn't really been nervous in the eliminations going up to that, but I was so nervous going up against Wes because he's so good. He's such a, and he's strong. Like, so when we saw that this is going to be a wrestling match in the air and I have a legitimate chance of losing to him, to come out with that win and then everyone in the house be like, dude, you're like on a heater right now, man. Like,
you're
a legend.
You got Wes out and you know, he's retiring now. It's like, whoa, this is again uncharted territory that I didn't expect for my season. I just wanted to come into the season and make it worth it and and do everything I could to give it my all. And I was like, damn, all right, it's been worth it. Like, I've made the season worth it. That was that was a special, for me personally, that was super special.
That was iconic. Let's talk a little bit about this final and just some of the other players, because I'd love to get you guys' take on this really quick. What did you guys think about Michaela's decision to not stay and wake up? Desi's making a face. I want to hear it. To not stay and wait for the rocks, but to just run. Like, how long did it even take for you guys to do the, like, each of you to kind of like do the rock thing? Was it a really long time? It didn't seem like it was that long.
That's what won me the game, if I'm being honest. I mean, Michaela and I got to the scales at the same time. We read the thing out loud and then she paused and she was like, okay, what do we do now? And I was like, oh, you don't know what to do? So I picked up a rock and started doing it.
I love that you did that, by the way.
Yeah, I was like, you don't know what to do? They said it was first come, first serve. So girl, I'm gonna put a rock in this basket. I was shocked that she decided to continue on, because already at that point, I mean, I was dehydrated from the day before. My legs were already starting to cramp. So for me, it was like, there's no way I'm running further than I have to run, knowing that we've got 10 miles ahead and we've already been climbing for probably two. So anyway, it didn't take that long to do it. Probably 15 minutes. I also witnessed Bananas get it wrong.
Yes.
So for me, once I saw him get it wrong and they're like, oh, no, you don't get the shortcut, then I really laser focused in and I was like, there is no way I'm going to screw this thing up.
Yeah. What was your strategy to know that it was balanced? Because Bananas is known as a strategy king, right? In general, he's pretty good at things like that. And so for him to do it and be so far off, you did it and did it kind of the most beautifully, I think, out of anyone. I mean, they were like
damn
perfectly
near perfect.
Balanced.
Yeah,
how
perfect.
Did you do that?
I mean, I would just put it in and I would step back.
Affirmations.
And, I mean, affirmations, but also like I did do it very methodically. So whereas people were like looking at the size of rocks, all those rocks are made of different materials. So just because the rock is the same size doesn't mean it weighs the same as the other rock. Like all rocks aren't created the same. Don't you guys remember that from third grade?
She's making right now, listeners, by the way.
Weird to me that like that's the strategy that people were using.
Yeah.
So I just put it in, I take a step back and like, does that look like it's perfectly balanced? If it didn't, then I just would keep going. And after seeing Bananas screw it up, I just couldn't screw it up. So I took as much time as I needed to make sure I got that right, knowing that Michaela was on foot and there was no way I wasn't going to make up time.
Right. Yeah. On an ATV.
On an ATV.
I mean, the trick is, if you see an ATV, you don't run away from it.
Right.
You try to work with it.
That
right.
is, a,
you know?
That is fast. That eliminates a ton of time and is basically effortless. Like, you have to have that as, you know, as a rest opportunity.
Yeah.
How long were you guys running in the ATV? Or not running, but like, how long was the ATV portion of?
Maybe like 20 minutes.
Maybe. Okay. Yeah, maybe I would say 10. Yeah, between 10 and 20 of driving an ATV. So imagine running that same distance. You know, it's like.
Dude, I ran so far. Yeah. I ran through some guy's backyard. Meanwhile, I have this rock on. Okay, so you did too. The guy was outside his house. I have this golden rock on my shoulder. I'm running through. He's like, and we're in the middle of Croatia. Like, there's really nobody here. And all I'm thinking is, this is going to be a fairy tale in 100 years. Like, there was a woman running with the golden egg on her shoulder.
He had a plow. Like he was old. He had like a wooden plow. Like, we were running through Croatia. Like,
and what was weird, Croatia. Like, I think, Chris, because you were in first, you had a cameraman with you the entire time. But for most of that final, there were no cameramen around. So it was just me, or probably you, Tori, like alone running through a man's backyard. Like, am I going the right way? Am I not going the right way? Like, are we supposed to be seeing people?
Yeah.
I actually had somebody running with me.
Okay.
Shout out to Val. He had a gimbal in his hand and we were both like, where are we?
Yeah.
like he didn't know where we were going either. So I was like, well, this isn't a great start. So that's obviously when I was starting to accept my fate in the game. But ultimately, you know, at least I'll be in a fairy tale in 100
you
years.
You will. Exactly.
Girl, will be passed down. Yeah.
You can write it, actually.
We'll see a painting of Tori somewhere, yeah, like in a museum in Croatia. Like this girl with the long hair and a golden rock just running.
All right, guys, we have to take a quick break, but we'll be right back after this.
Mom met a lot of your demands over the years. This Mother's Day, get her the Bartesian cocktail maker that makes premium cocktails on demand. In just 30 seconds, have your choice of over 60 premium or seasonal cocktails, all at the touch of a button. Get $50 off on the Bartesian cocktail maker now when you buy one pack of cocktail capsules. So, for all the times you made a mess, get Mom the countertop cocktail system that makes premium cocktails without making any mess at all. For all the times you begged for soda, get her premium cocktail capsules made with real fruit juice and craft bitters. For all the times you demanded tacos for dinner, get her the Bartesian that mixes margaritas in just 30 seconds. Make Mom's Mother's Day and all the 364 days that aren't Mother's Day with a Bartesian cocktail maker at $50 off. Visit bartesian.com/mother now to get $50 off the Bartesian Premium Cocktail Maker. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything The Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Who were, and this question's for all three of you, who did you see as your biggest competitors going into the final? And did it change at all throughout the final? Chris, let's start with you. But like, who going in? So you guys have all made it to the final, four guys, four girls. Who do you see as your biggest competition initially? And then once we got about, say, halfway through, did that change for you or not?
Yeah, before heading into the final, Josh was, I would say, for some reason, I just had a feeling like if this is a long distance kind of endurance run, it's either going to, my biggest competitor is either going to be Bananas or Josh. Fessy and Corey are really strong, but they were doing a lot more lifting throughout the season than they were doing, you know, hit like cardio CrossFit type exercises, where I was doing a lot of those with Josh. And that's probably why people were like, dude, this guy's actually getting pretty good shape. Like by the end of it, so Josh, and then getting him out or putting him in a position where he was going up against Fess in the very end, partially was for my own, you know, hubris. Like I just wanted them to go at it against each other. Because they like they had screwed me over. It was like, well, yeah, no shame here. But I would say at that point, then after that was Bananas. Bananas was going to be the guy that would have figured out a way to win. But those wrist stations were, I mean, it was make or break on each one. And
they were equalizers.
They were equalized. Yeah. They really were. And if you got it right, like you had a really good shot at pulling ahead from someone who might've gotten it wrong. We saw that with Tori. You know, Tori, you ever want to, you know, there are some strategy. You know, there is.
Yeah. Like hold it with two hands. Like you see me with one arm trying to like, what am I doing?
It's like smacking sideways, like the whole half of the side. Like, oh gosh. So those were some big, those wrist stations were equalizers. So it could have been anyone's game. But for me, I was just in a weird, like out of body, like automated. I didn't even consider risk. It's just like, I'm doing these things. And for me, unfortunately, the chips, like the stars aligned kind of, it was just a domino effect. Like I was momentum after momentum just kept me going personally. Once I had the head start, I was like, there is nobody catching me.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. I got this. I got this. What about you, Desi? Who was your biggest competition sort of going into the final? And then once, you know, halfway through or so, did it switch up? Was there someone else you had your eye on
This is going to be an annoying answer, but I truly, because I was asked this before we started the final, who I thought my biggest competition is. Mm-hmm. And I truly thought it was such an even playing field. Not only mm-hmm. did we have the four like strongest women left in the game, but probably the four smartest women left mm-hmm. in the game. So for me, it was like these, all these women are strong. They're really smart. They've got great strategy. They've got a lot of heart. So for me, starting out the final, it truly could have been anyone. I didn't see anybody yeah. as having, I mean, Tori obviously had won before, so maybe mm-hmm. that's a slight advantage, but mm-hmm. I truly felt like it was a super even playing field. And I think we all knew that going into the final, and we all knew that mm-hmm. we were taking a risk by bringing the other
letting
three best women yeah. yeah, to the final
yeah.
with us.
Yeah.
But then and obviously then as it started, there, yeah.
yeah.
I mean, once it started, it was me and Michaela like neck and neck. So I knew that mm-hmm. Michaela was my biggest competition. There was a part of me that was like, where is Tori? Did we miss something? Is there a chance she's ahead?
Running
yeah.
with the golden egg.
I thought that too until she showed up at the thing. I was like, oh, I forgot about Tori. And I say this lovingly. I was like, oh, Tori. And then we saw the note. And then, yeah.
Yeah.
I had said it before. I thought Tori was going to, I was like, told Tori, I was like, I have a feeling like you or me or both of us are going to be at the top. You know, it's like,
yeah.
But then that freaking axe, like, where's Tori? Oh, mm-hmm. she got
and I never saw anybody else either. Like,
yeah.
I never saw, yeah. once I passed Michaela, I never saw another woman again. So I thought Tori was still in it for sure, Desi. Because I never saw flex. Chanel. What'd you say?
I said settle flex.
Desi. Oh, I didn't mean it like that. Well, I mean, I guess, yeah, I didn't.
She's like, once you are in first place, I mean, everybody else was so
But there was always something in the back of my head that was like, what if I'm not in first place? Because it's not,
right?
Like, truth be told.
It's fair.
I didn't run most of the, like, I was so gassed. My legs were cramping. Like, I was very dehydrated. I emptied out my, mm-hmm. my like mm-hmm. backpack of water and I shouldn't have. So like my legs mm-hmm. were cramping. So I was thinking like, maybe somebody else, like, am I going the wrong way? There were just mm-hmm. so many things in my head because there was nobody on the path with me. There was not a cameraman. There was not nothing yeah. around. So I'm like, I could be going the wrong way. I'd seen Fessy go the opposite way as me when he like got that penalty.
What did you guys think about that? And Bessie going, do you think he really did do it on accident? Or do you think, Tori explained.
So what? After we had finished and we talked to him, he was like, yeah, my axe like stuck in there and I thought it stayed and then it fell out, but that never happened. So he knew that it never actually
just thought he'd get away with
it. Yeah, he thought he was sly, you know? Yeah. But I don't blame him because... Well, I mean, listen, he already knew he was going to lose. Like, unless Corey didn't miss, but like, dude, it like, obviously people were making it. So I don't know.
We were at there. We were, the three of us were at that together and Bananas hit it and I hit it. And I didn't even think that I did not look back to check. And I think that I was locked into what I was doing every point of the, mm-hmm. the final. So mm-hmm. I didn't realize that Fess had missed his. He was running up. He was running the shortcut path with us. And like when I looked back in the beginning before I pulled ahead, I thought that they were both on it. But then come to find out that Fessy was trying to gamify it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I thought it was going to stick. But they made him do the same distance just on the shortcut trail. Is why he had to go back.
He was doing and pulling an Angela a la USA season one, I feel like.
I'm going to just rest.
Trying to game the system. And it doesn't quite work like that. But I mean, good on him for taking that risk. All right. I want to know first calls. Okay. First calls after it's all said and done. Who did you call first? Desi, let's start with you. Who was the first, as soon as you got your phone back, who was the first person you called?
I mean, I'm engaged, so obviously I called my fiance. Like, I couldn't call anybody else. And unfortunately, he had already, like, heard the spoiler, so I didn't...
Really?
He texted me before I called him. Because we have to wait and, like, do our, you know, our exit press, our exit interviews, all of that. So when I got my phone back, like, I saw a text message from him that he was like, I heard the news, is it true? ? And I was like, ugh.
I know.
Because I was going to kind of keep it from him. Like, we're planning a wedding. He's supposed to pay for it. I was like, I don't want to pay for anything. Okay, so,
girl, they are expensive. Yeah. Someone who just had a wedding. Let me tell you, those suckers are expensive.
Yeah, so I was like, I'm going to just hide my $250,000 until after the wedding. But no such luck.
Chris, who did you call? I'm assuming your wife, but tell us what that call was like.
Yeah, I mean, I called her and was like, hey, we're at the end. It's like, but I want to wait till I get home and before I tell you what happened. Like, you know, we had planned a little trip. We were going to go to Greece together. It was awesome. Mm-hmm. We had a great time in Greece after I got after the show ended. But it was funny because she FaceTimed me and with a look on her face, like jaw dropped. She was like, "Bryce told me something," and I was like, "Oh, Bryce spoiled it for her." Our friend, Bryce, like that, like Bryce.
Right. Okay, so now you don't need to take him to dinner.
Yeah,
like, now it's net neutral.
Yeah, yeah. And then she was like, he was like, "Oh my god!" Like I think for what she told me, he's like, "Oh my god, yeah. I'm so sorry, I spoiled it for you." But I thought that, I mean, I wanted to tell her, but Bryce told my wife before I could that I had.
Oh, no, Bryce, yeah. we take half of that shout out back yeah. earlier. But that is so amazing and so exciting, Desi. We heard what you're going to use the money for now, because you can't keep it a secret, girl, sis. I mean, he is your fiance anyway. You got to share things. If you get stressed or need any tips, call me. I'm still suffering from the PTSD of planning, but I'm here to help you with any knowledge that I have. But Chris, what are you going to use some of that money for?
So I wanted to build a house. We want to, you know, purchase land here in South Carolina and build. And so I'm always kind of just like business minded, I guess. So, but we want to have, you know, we want to have a home, and that still rings true. So it's going to be, you know, tucked away, and eventually we're going to purchase some land and, you know, build a home.
I love that.
And then maybe one day you'll have a girl with a golden rock running through it.
Golden egg.
You know, the golden egg. The mountain looking lost.
Yeah. Desi, are you still investing in, because you have a medical business, don't you?
Yeah, I have like a home health agency. Yeah.
And that's something that I think that like we don't really get to like hear a lot about too. Like, Chris, I love hearing about your business, all of our business endeavors, because we are challengers. But like the truth is, outside of this, when we're not competing for all of the months that we're not, we do have things going on outside. So like, are you investing any of the money into your business?
I mean, like, yes and no. So what it has allowed me to do is I was working in my business and working as the administrator of the company as well. So I was like literally burning the candle at both ends. So what it does allow me to do is like take a step back. I'm not doing as much clinical work, and I'm mostly just doing administrative work, because now I've got a little wiggle room. So it has allowed me to like breathe a sense of relief and not have to work like 16-hour days, which is nice.
Yes, that's amazing. What do you guys plan to do after this? Like, are you going to come back to the challenge? Are you really retiring, Chris? Desi, like, I feel like you got more in you.
Are we going to make it a three-peat?
So I'm not totally against it. I'm open. Let me say I'm open, but I will never say never. Like when I got called for season one, I didn't think like that was shocking to me. I was on Survivor 5 years before that. So never in a million years did I think I'd play this game. Mm-hmm. So I won't say never, but we'll see what the future holds.
You guys should see the smirk she's doing. First of all, her angles are fabulous, but also she definitely has this evil smirk of never say never, but it's very much like, yeah, they're going to call and come back and kick some ass again, is the vibe she's giving. For those who don't have the visuals, I'm trying to share. Chris, what about you? Are you retiring?
I will say that right now I'm in a like my heart is full. I'm in a really good place as a person outside of reality television. Like I'm in a got a beautiful, you know, beautiful family. Like I'm, you know, feel that my work is meaningful and impactful, and I'm, you know, impacting lives outside of the challenge. And, you know, I think I get that solar. Yeah, I mean, I think I get a pass every few years. So, you know, maybe the time will come where I can step away and I can play this, you know, incredible game again. But it's really cool. I will say, like, it's really cool that I am right now, you know, 2 for 2 on.
I mean,
it's like, pretty cool. So
that needs to be on a t-shirt, a hat, a bumper sticker, something. Like, anytime anyone gives you trouble, Chris, just. I feel like you don't even have to say anything. Like, it's just like a check the record thing, an ultimate mic drop. That's pretty badass.
To risk spoiling that. I like that I'm living in that right now. It's really awesome, and I'm just super proud of myself. So 3 for 3 would be pretty cool. But right now I'm like, I'm happy.
Aww. Take on the goats, man. Take on the goats.
Go
Come
on the
on.
Next Great British Baking Show or something. And that and be a really well-rounded.
Yeah. Well-rounded.
Three. Like, you know,
I think this is just the mindset that I as a competitor as I go in, as when I've played in sports before, I try so much harder to beat the person that's gotten a lot of credit or is the top dog or like the best guy in the league. And so me coming into another season is I might need a little bit of time to make people maybe forget some, because I just know, like, when I go back into it, they're going to be like, oh, Chris thought he was big and bad and he had a great rookie season. Like, we're going to show him.
Chris,
and
they were already trying to show you, bruh. They were coming after you.
The season wasn't even over. They were trying to show me. So I'm like mentally at a point where if I go back, I'd have to completely reset and put myself into like this dark place where I like, you know, am angry and I want to just like, I'm out for blood, because it's just, that's how it is. Like, I'm either going to have really good alliances and people are going to want to work with me because I know I'm a strong competitor. And, you know,
I might have that this time. I think you're selling yourself short. Yeah. I think, look, there's always some hazing of the rookies, right? There just is. So I think a part of that was thrown your way because you're a rookie, because you were a Survivor winner, and then because you did lie by omission sometimes and some stuff you were saying. But Desi was waiting for that when she was looking like, yeah, get to that last part. Yeah. But I think this time, seeing how much respect you gain even from your biggest adversaries, I really think that when you come back, If you stick straight forward to whatever it is you say you're going to do, I actually think you'd be able to really rally a solid alliance and team around you. I really do. Yeah.
Yes.
But if you try that and it doesn't work, don't
come
for
me. I'll tuck that one away. I'll tuck that one away.
All right. You guys have been amazing. Congratulations again. It was beautiful seeing you guys win. You both absolutely deserved it. And I know that you're going to do such good. And I bet you there are so many people who have watched that or are watching it and are inspired by each of you all's journeys in getting there. So thank you for being vulnerable, open, human, and kicking ass for the win. So excited for you all. For those who want to continue following along or just be nosy, because, you know, that's how people are sometimes, where can they find you on social media? Desi, start with you.
Yeah, please be nosy. My Instagram is at Desi J Williams, D-E-S-I J Williams. And that's probably where I'm most active. I have a YouTube. It's not that exciting. I have a TikTok, not that exciting. So follow me on Instagram.
Love that. What about you, Chris?
Yeah, you can find me at chris.under.wood. That's where I'm definitely most active on Instagram. If you want me to, and this is a, you know, selfish plug, but I love inspiring, I love motivating. Part of my business, I talk to sales teams, you know, all over the country. And so if you know, you're like, hey, you got a cool story, like, would love to, you know, have you come work or be a part of our organization for any events. I love that type of stuff. So
love that. Yes, get that plug, Chris. Awesome. Desi, do you want to plug?
Get booked and busy. Yeah, sure. I mean, I also do public speaking. If I mean, I've done a lot of things in my lifetime. Obviously, I came from pageants for my entire career, was doing Dr. public D. speaking. Mm-hmm. And I was a professor. So also, if you want to book me, give me an email. I'd be happy to come motivate.
I love that.
Note, all of the above.
And also, you're a great beatboxer, so I'm going to need you to beatbox for the last part of this.
We got to finish with this one.
Don't make me pull out the rap.
Oh, my God.
Wait, did they show the rap?
Yes. Oh, totally.
Yeah, we actually do need the rap.
I'm good on the rap. You guys.
No, not Chris. I got to find
it. No part of the rap.
Chris was not a fan of the rap.
Wait, Chris, do you not like rap music, or do you not like Tori's rap music?
Tori's is fair.
Yeah, I didn't like this rap. It was a vulnerable point in the game for me, and I was like, oh, this is a roast rap. I don't like it.
Oh, okay, a roast rap.
It came out just as his whole game imploded in front of his face.
Okay. A roast rap.
It's so good.
And for the record, I wasn't even the one who originally did this rap. I just wrote it with Michaela, and actually Alyssa S. performed it, which made it hilarious. So
wait,
just try to imagine this in Alyssa S.'s voice.
Yes.
Not Tori being the ghostwriter.
Okay. I was the ghost, and Michaela.
And it was also the timing in the game. Like, Chris was pissed about this rap. Who else didn't? Fessy didn't want to listen to it. Like, we tried to gather everyone for this performance, and there were people who knew that they were about to get roasted, who were like, no, don't want to be a part of it.
This is my face shaking my head, pursed lip.
Yeah, Chris wants you to know, Chris does not approve. This is
exactly the face that I gave the entire rap.
Yeah. And also, you'll know by what point we were in the game by who's mentioned in the rap. So
exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Does it have a name? Does the song have a name?
It doesn't. It's just the boys' diss rap.
Okay. Just roasting the boys.
All right, Eminem.
Here it is. The rap of the season.
Bananas in pajamas, jumping down the stairs. He tells a lot of stories, but nobody cares.
Hey, ho, hey, ho.
Then there's Corey, with his curly hair. Don't let him near your girl. He's got babies everywhere.
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
Now we have Fessel. He thinks that he's a man. He wants to be a vet, but he's just a West fan.
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
And speaking on West, he's not that bad. His wife is 3 months pregnant. So are you sure that he's a dad?
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
Talking about dads, let's talk about Chris. You tried to run a vote, but the whole thing was a miss.
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
Let's talk about Josh. He be getting loud, but until you win a daily better, sit your ass down.
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
I'm just making jokes. Don't blame it on me. Y'all need to look at Monty because he sits down when he pees.
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
Seabass kind of cute. Seabass kind of fine. Why is Tori Deal his only storyline?
Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
That was really fun. Now I gotta go. Wait, did I miss a guy? Oh, Tyler's on the show. Hey! Oh! Hey! Oh!
It was a bird.
It was so good. It was so good.
It was a bird.
Mic drop.
So funny.
Absolute mic drop.
Y'all did it.
You won it. Chris, how do you feel about it now?
I can laugh about it now. You know, hindsight. And in my defense, like, well, some other roasts were worse than mine, so I'll take what I
can. Yes, they definitely were. I mean, Monty's business is now all out there.
Okay, well, that's not true. For the record, what happened, let me just give the backstory on that for 2 seconds. We were watching a movie night, and when they turn all the lights off in the house, you can't actually use switches in the bathroom, so Monty had to pee. But he cracked the door open a little bit, so I didn't know he was in there. And so instead of getting pee all over, which I'll give him credit for, he in the dark sat down and peed because he didn't want to get pee all over the place. But I walked in on it, and so that's
just a mess. This whole challenge house is a mess, dude.
Yeah, we didn't hate each other. We had a lot of fun.
Yes,
we love the mess and live for the mess. Yeah. Hey, so thank you guys
so much. Clap.
Look, this is how you know Chris is coming back.
Right now.
Hey. No, Chris is yes, Chris.
Totally flipped the switch.
Little C coming out at the end of the interview.
Little C.
Come on.
Chris's ass is not going to be out for long. Lil C is going to be in his house.
Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
But when you arrive, I just ask that next time you come with a fake big gold chain, Chris, some sunglasses, okay, and just roll up on day one, please.
But don't forget the Nike boots. Please. Don't forget the Nike boots.
The Nike boots, the Corey's chain, Bessie's jacket, call me Lil C. Yeah. I've evolved. Yes. The Blue Room has changed me from the inside out.
Love it so much.
Amazing.
You guys are amazing. And you're challenge champs. Congratulations.
Woohoo!
Love you guys.
Mother's Day is coming, and mom doesn't want flowers. She wants a cocktail. Here's a hint. Get mom Bartesian. It's the countertop cocktail maker that creates your choice of over 60 premium cocktails in less than 30 seconds, each at the touch of a button. Flowers die. Happy hour comes back every day. So get mom the machine that makes amazing cocktails with real fruit juices and craft bitters. Best of all, get $50 off a Bartesian premium cocktail maker with the purchase of one pack of cocktail capsules. So, instead of getting mom a reason to fill a flower vase with water, get mom the easiest, fastest way to fill her glass with the floral notes of gin. The best cocktails are premium cocktails, and the best day to get it for mom is Mother's Day, because you can get $50 off now for a limited time. Visit bartesian.com/mother to get the best premium cocktail maker for mom at the best price for you. Bartesian, premium cocktails on demand.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.
Wow. I mean, like, I know how good it felt to win, but hearing them talk about it and being able to witness that, I think everybody can agree watching this season that those two people deserve to win.
Yes.
Desi and Chris, like,
without a doubt.
So it was just so beautiful, and they're so sweet.
Yeah, that was so fun. They're so fun. They can come back anytime.
Anytime.
But in the meantime, while we're waiting for them to come back, people want to follow you, Tori, on socials or get a copy of that new book of yours. How can they do that?
Thank you so much. Yes, guys, I might be failed at challenge finals, but I'm pretty good at poetry and apparently pretty good at ghostwriting raps too. So if you want to support my new book, it's called The Soul Spill. It would mean the world to me. You can find it on my Instagram. Just go to @Tori_Deal and take a look at it. Let me know what you think. And Devin, where can they follow you? How can they support you? What Amazon clothes should they purchase? Send us all the details.
You guys want to support me, or if you're single and you want to be matched, because you know I'm a matchmaker, and I have had some challenge fans come on as clients recently, so shout out to you guys. But you can go to my website, devinsimone.com. That's Devin with a Y, Simone with an I, .com. At the top, you'll see a matchmaking tab. Just click that. If you scroll to the bottom, you'll see my socials. I'm most active on Amazon, as Tori mentioned. For that, you can just Google Devin Simone and Amazon, and you'll get all the tea and the scoop. And I like to point out what's on sale. So if you like sales, definitely hit the follow button for me on Amazon. Yes. But also my Instagram is where I'm most active. So that's Devin Simone altogether. It's consistent across socials, Twitter, TikTok, you name it. Then you can find me there.
Yeah.
For a grand old time.
Everybody go comment Devin some pictures of fuzzy coats and stuff, the things that she likes to sell on Amazon, and let's spam her feed with it. It'll be funny. And then whoever sends like the most emojis that I see, I'll follow them back. I think it'll just be a really great time to spam Devin's account. I mean, it's the finale.
I like that. I mean, I say that I like it now. We will see, but that will be hilarious, especially for the people who don't know, to go in and see a bunch of random spammy. And can I just say, by the way, we've heard Tori talk about her book that is available for pre-order, but the cover is beautiful. I bet it's going to be amazing. So make sure you go and check that out as
Thank you.
Ooh, maybe I'll do a giveaway if you guys get Tori's book. I do have something great to give away. Okay. So I think we'll do a little giveaway. So, or pre-order Tori's book. When it's out, we'll figure out how that's done. Tori and I'll talk about it, but then I'll do a little giveaway on my IG. So
keep I love that. Well, I'm not the only one who launched something. Actually, MTV also recently launched a mental health initiative that we're really excited to talk about here on the Challenge podcast. So we're going to share a little bit of info that they sent over to us.
Have you ever had a friend come to you with a problem and felt like you had no idea how to help them? You're definitely not alone. MTV's Mental Health is Health just did a study and found that while people are most likely to turn to a friend or family member when they're struggling, nearly 70% of us don't feel like we know how to help. That's a huge problem then, isn't it? Especially with mental health issues on the rise.
So MTV worked with Active Minds, a leading mental health nonprofit, and came up with a super simple way to help a friend or a loved one when they need it. ASK. It's an acronym that stands for A, acknowledge, S, support, and K, keep in touch. ASK. A-S-K.
Here's how it works. A, acknowledge the person's feelings and recognize the courage it took to come to you. S, support, by asking how you can help, by sharing resources for coping methods, or assist them in finding professional help. And K, keep in touch, to show you really care.
ASK is a valuable tool that can really make a difference in the lives of people you love most. So go to asktohelp.com, that's asktohelp.com, to learn more, because the best way to help a friend is to ask.
Love it. Very happy we were able to share that with you guys. Thanks for listening to this entire season. We've had the best time with you. Tor, I've had the best time with you too.
Same.
And if you liked this season, I know, and this podcast and this episode, we would really, 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 really appreciate it if you would rate and review us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, and make sure you tell all your friends, because they can binge. Sharing is caring, all right? And we don't believe in overshare. What was our theme, Tori?
Don't overthink, overshare.
There you go. Yes! Don't overthink, overshare. That includes this podcast. Overshare it to everyone you know.
Yes, and the challenge and the official challenge podcast will be back so soon, so make sure you stay subscribed.
And we'll see you back here right after for a brand new episode of MTV's official challenge podcast.
Hey! Ho! Hey! Ho! Bad try.
Attention all Challenge fans. There is a ton of great Challenge merchandise at the Paramount Shop. We're talking t-shirts, yoga mats, workout gear, and more. Whether it's an official Challenge t-shirt for the gym or a hoodie to wear while you watch the latest season, shop everything the Challenge at ParamountShop.com and take 20% off with code CHALLENGE20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Challenge products with code CHALLENGE20 at ParamountShop.com.